What does it take to break through a stone, cold heart that is hardened with prejudice to break through? What does it take? What does it take to break through a hardened heart? The familiar biblical story of Jonah and the well is often reduced to nothing more than a fantasy story exclusively for children. But actually, it is a short theological treatise against xenophobia and cultural bias. This ancient teaching highlights the broad expanse of God's compassionate concern, extending beyond nation and tribe, with a love that includes every single human on the planet. All those living in distant lands are those whom God cares for and loves and esteems. And so it's a work of some rhetorical mischief and humor featuring this man, Jonah, who is convinced of his faithfulness to God because of his piety, who is actually found unfaithful to God's greater calling of concern for others. Begins with a command. God says to Jonah, "Go to the heathen city of Nineveh and declare my salvation for all living there." Jonah's response is swift and decisive. He books passage on the first ship he can find to take him in exactly the opposite direction. And while escaping as fast and as far away as he can, running from the very people he's committed and commanded to help, a great storm arises. And Jonah's caught up in it. A storm so threatening and life-threatening and terrible, it requires the ship's crew to start throwing things overboard to lighten the load. But they're in peril. They are beside themselves with worry, facing certain death and believing, as was their custom, that their fate was the result of having angered one of the many gods who obviously had taken it upon that God self to punish them. Upon further examination, they discover the fault is with this reluctant prophet whose passage they have unwittingly aided and abetted, moving in the direct opposition and direction of the will of the God of the Hebrews. And exercising what we might call the logic of desperation, they toss Jonah overboard with all the other goods. No lifeboat, no life jacket, no call to the Coast Guard. And it seems Jonas is just fine with this fate, content to perish under the tempestuous sea, having to die as a better fate than facing his prejudice and this command to go to the despised people of Nineveh. Jonah in the waves, ready to die. Story's over, right? Well, as we say, man plans and God laughs. And here comes a great fish, swallows Jonah whole, and there he is in the stench and the darkness of the belly of the beast for 3 days and three nights, 3 whole days, 3 whole nights to contemplate his fate. Don't you love the emphasis along the way? 3 days and 3 nights, you know. It's not the days in the belly of a monster that will disturb you, but man, those nights are really hard to get through, aren't they? They can just drag on and on. And if Jonah had had access to a GPS locating system at that time, here's what he would have discovered. That while he was running from the command of God to the people in Nineveh in exactly the opposite direction, this great fish was taking him back the other way. A crash course collision straight for the very place he said he would never go. And once there, like a spoiled piece of raw meat, he is regurgitated upon the shore of the outer bounds of Nineveh, a city so large that it would take 3 days to walk all the way across. The reluctant prophet is stuck. And so he begins his journey with, in Hebrew, a 5-word sermon. I was planning for a 5-word sermon today in light of the picnic coming soon. I just couldn't reduce myself to all of that. But here was his sermon to the people of Nineveh, not in Hebrew, but in English. In 40 days, God will destroy your city. Kind of sounds like a guy forecasting the end of the world, doesn't it? How well do those messages go over? In 40 days, God will destroy your city. That's it. Nothing about God as a God of love, or God cares for you, or God will save you if you call out God's name, or have you heard what happened to me over the past week? None of that. Just this message. In 40 days, God will destroy your city. End of sermon. And it seems the point is not the eloquence of the message, but the readiness of the people. Didn't matter what Jonah said, the people were already there, ready for an invitation for faith and new life. Jonah's words were somewhat irrelevant. All they needed was a little push in the right direction. But his sermon on his lips and with his heart was intended for nothing but a curse, certainly not a blessing. But guess what? Jonah hardly gets through half a day's journey against the broad expanse of that great city when people start responding. His word of warning is like wildfire and becomes well received. Soon the whole community, including everyone and everything, from the king sitting high in the castle above in the royal hallways to the grazing cattle in the fields, respond positively to the message that Jonah brings. They repent. They seek after God and God alone. They are, each and every last one of them, from the heights to the depths, saved. Every single citizen and living creature in Nineveh, redeemed. By the way, what a corrective to the story of Noah and God destroying a whole people, to now the Jonah story of God saving all humanity. Has God changed God's mind, or are people finally recognizing God's will? And after the reading from today, talking about the prejudice that still exists in the human heart, what does Jonah do? How does he respond? Is he happy he finally trusted God and did God's bidding? Is he enjoying his new celebrity status with the people of Nineveh, shaking hands, taking autographs, giving them that a boy? Is he found sitting at table of celebration with his new friends, claiming God's lavish grace and God's incredible love? Wouldn't you think by this point in the story, Jonah would get it? The light would come on? Hardly. In fact, he can hardly believe it. He's disgusted. Even shade is too great a pleasure in his misery. He would rather die than watch God's love be showered upon those who he had judged as undeserving. He would rather be in the belly of the beast than watch the spectacle of grace and inclusion. What does it take to break through a hardened heart of prejudice? In the story of Jonah, God has command over the storms and the sea. God can dictate the direction and behavior of animals. God can save entire cities, but God cannot change the determined and prejudiced heart of one single stubborn human. At least not without a little bit of help from the human him or herself. Has God made a rock so big that God's own self cannot move? Asked the philosophers. Well, that rock is seated in every pew with every human here. A God who respects our integrity, even despite God's will and love for others, almost and certainly to the point where we can die in our hatred and live in our shame. One commentator asked, can we lift our eyes from our own concerns just for a second to see God acting right in front of us? It's an act of tremendous faith to see something from someone else's viewpoint other than your own. It is an act of compassion and faith to see an issue from the point of view of the person who is suffering. That's the issue before us as a country. Securing health care for the poor, the disabled, the aged, the vulnerable young. What does it look like for them on the fringes, on the margins, living in desperation to have a safety net ripped out from under their feet? Seeking legal status for hardworking and law-abiding neighbors who only differ from their country of origin, who have been in our land for decades, trying to do the right thing, working hard, who have been denied a legal path for legitimate status in our society, or worse, those who were brought here as children, who are literally this moment in our land, in our city, living in terror, waiting for that loved one who's working two jobs on the road to be pulled over and caught and deported when there's still children at home to feed with no one there to take care of them. Defending the rights of others for doing nothing more offensive than a silent political protest, to be called names of derision by the highest office in the land. Recognizing how people of color feel misrepresented and at times victims of what they have experienced as an uneven application of a criminal justice system. All these issues and so many more look completely differently when we try to see them through the eyes of faith and compassion, but we're still caught with the perspective of the belly of the beast. This is the true crisis facing our land and our world. There is no longer any compassion and any time for compassion left in our hearts or in our schedule to help those who most need it. We would rather not hear the call of God to go to the person of need. We would rather just wait it out. It's the sin of Jonah. The abandonment of compassion and understanding and common human decency. A headline leaped off the pages of the Washington Post for me this week. It read, "In Mexico City, rich and poor had little in common until the earthquake hit." In Mexico City, the rich and poor had little in common, living in this bifurcated community of the haves having more and the have-nots having less and less and less, until the earth shook and what was on high was brought low. And now the poor are having to pull out the rich from the weight of the rubble and the treasures and the wealth that they had accumulated for all these years. Flattened. Because God is a God of equality and equity and justice and concern for the least of these. Nancy Rockwell notices, all these different players in the kingdom stories of Jesus's, images of God that we have the privilege to fulfill if we so choose. The generous employer, the careful gardener, the wild sower, the baker who makes enough bread for everyone, the diligent coin seeker, the good shepherd, the buyer who sells everything for a pearl or a treasure in the field. Some of the images are male, some of the images are female. But Jesus teaches us, every single one of them can be like God, can care for another, can lift up the broken and mend their wounds, can defend the powerless and march for their cause, to be compassionate in our hope and our prayers and in our efforts, and as citizens of a free land, to be brave for those who share this land with us. These are stormy times. And we can wonder, is God against us? But it seems we just don't want to hear God's message. God tells us to go, to work, to organize, to make the call, to march, to protest, to defend, to say to our senators, to our government officials, this needs to stop. We are a commonwealth for the common good of all people. There's no time to sit back. There's no time to assume it's someone else's job. It's no time to just say, it'll all get worked out in the end. Jesus teaches us everyone can be like God. Gracious, kind, compassionate, merciful, resilient, caring, defending, sacrificing. But I fear more of us just want to be like Jonah. Let us pray. Help us, O God, in the living of these days to not get overwhelmed with all the problems, all the noise, all the static, all the criticism, all the bitterness, all the anger, all the acrimony, all the hatred. It seems to be dripping like sweat through every crevices of our world, blowing into our lives with hurricane gale force, shaking the foundations upon which we stand, rattling the very certainty with which we live, and how we can grow so despondent, weak and powerless, fearful and defeated. But now, here in this place, a sacred place, a place where we proclaim your love, not merely as an abstraction, but as something to live into and to embrace, to be joyful in our following, to recognize that you are with us, and that if we are afraid, it's only because we are not with you. Help us, O God, to broaden and break down the barriers of our own narrow way, of our prejudice, of our protection only for ourselves. Help us, O God, to reach beyond the barriers of which we have constructed, of those who deserve and those who do not. Help us to see life from the perspective of someone else who is struggling, who is broken, who is needy, who needs us. And thank you, O God, for all the many times that people in this church have banded together to do that which is helpful and good and right for those who have no one there for them. Help us, O God, to be your people in this critical time, in this critical age, with all these pressing needs. Help us embrace the good news. You are a God of love. You care for us all. And you use us who have means to take care of those who are weak. That is the message of hope, liberation, and new life. Amen.